Isn't it interesting, striking, how little conditioned are we the people when Jesus preached? Hence, there could be, centuries hence, the French Revolution, after which wanting our bodies back became a shadow criminal offense with shadow criminal punishment by shadow state operatives, aka workers, using shadow weapons and shadow rationalizations devised by shadow men who nonetheless have cultivated such hubris that they no longer care that we see them. Lessons from Proudhon, our Pierre-Joseph Proudhon readings, continuing chapter 5. In our reading last week, Proudhon was making the point that we, with all animals, are alike in our possession of a social nature, and that this social nature is incorporated consciously into our personalities by means of our powers of analysis in a just human society, but that fears afflicting some class-reared humans, although in truth, to be just, we must fix this responsibility on Plato's tribesmen. Fear caused them to project onto the future their assumptions about what must be to prevent the coming to be of their worst fears. That being, I suspect, underlying the lies they tell themselves that they were unloved as infants, and that their entire schema for rationalizing the world is a product of this abuse. Their experience of psychic and physical abandonment, and that all of their subsequent actions are sprung from that damage. That fear of exposure, of their fundamental weakness of constitution, their lack of wholeness, their loss of spontaneity, vitality, feeling. These lacks in them, they fear will be exposed for all to see, that all will see they are the root of their deep-seated hate. And their fear as well, that we the people, once free of the hate they have fixed on us, will create our overdue world of abundance and love, a world bounteous and just, the very opposite of what they contend, that we represent chaos. We concluded our reading last week by suggesting a connection between Karl Popper's discussion of utopian social engineering and Proudhon's point that class-reared humans, my language, are led to violate the law of our social nature, justice, when they project onto the present their assumptions about what the future is to be. Popper would call this an historicist belief, and we will suggest today that Proudhon and Popper are in agreement that justice can only be served by means of broadly engaged in peaceful social engineering. Excuse me. Yes, peaceful too, but piecemeal social engineering. That the attempt of the few to commandeer for their own narrow ends, disguised and trumpeted as justice, the common social and material goods created by ourselves and the earth, violates our social nature, violates justice, and ends authentic human society. And we're already there. It must now be reclaimed. What we must confront today is the fact that we now have a world dominated by men whose fears rule them and who are determined to ensure that we are likewise so ruled. This is a moment for asserting our right to live without fear as authentic, unconditioned social beings. But as the power guys are highly engaged in their project of suppression, and we are not, likewise in ours of resistance, this is a moment for stepping up. Quote from Proudhon, the second degree of sociability is justice, which may be defined as the recognition of the equality between another's personality and our own. The sentiment of justice we share with the animals. We alone can form an exact idea of it, but our idea, as has been said already, does not change its nature. We shall soon see how man rises to a third degree of sociability, which the animals are incapable of reaching. But I must first prove by metaphysics that society, justice, and equality are three equivalent terms, three expressions meaning the same thing, whose mutual conversion is always allowable. If, amid the confusion of a shipwreck, having escaped in a boat with some provisions, I see a man struggling with the waves, am I bound to go to his assistance? Yes, I am bound under penalty of being adjudged guilty of murder and treason against society. But am I also bound to share with him my provision? To settle this question, we must change the phraseology. If society is binding on the boat, is it also binding on the provisions? Undoubtedly, the duty of an associate is absolute. Man's occupancy succeeds his social nature and is subordinate to it. And this again brings to mind St. Matthew's, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Possession can become exclusive only when permission to occupy is granted to all alike. That which, in this instance, obscures our duty is our power of foresight, which, causing us to fear an eventual danger, impels us to usurpation and makes us robbers and murderers. And my comment, this brings us to the consideration of whether this mindset reflects, in fact, the central dualism of class, the distinction between citizen and barbarian, upon which distinction, assumption, premise, the Plato's tribesmen have hung their entire self-justification, destroying countless lives in their fundamental misconceptions, forcing all life into its utopian social engineering experiment. About utopian social engineering, Karl Popper wrote, quote, Inherent in Plato's program, there is a certain approach toward politics, which I believe is most dangerous. Its analysis is of great practical importance from the point of view of rational social engineering. The Platonic approach that I have in mind can be described as that of utopian engineering, as opposed to another kind of social engineering, which I consider as the only rational one, and which may be described by the name of piecemeal engineering. The utopian approach is the more dangerous, as it may seem to be the obvious alternative to an out-and-out historicism, to a radically historicist approach, which implies that we cannot alter the course of history. At the same time, it appears to be a necessary complement to a less radical historicism like that of Plato, which permits human interference. And that's unquote from Karl Popper, The Open Society and Its Enemies, Volume 1. Popper's distinction between utopian and piecemeal social engineering is an important one for us to get clear on in the face of the power guys armed to the teeth and about to reach their aim, a fixed global totalitarian class state, and fits nicely with Proudhon's mutualisme. And I was hoping to get a little bit more into this argument of Proudhon's, but we'll have to hold it till next week. Thank you so much for hanging in there and taking the time to use your mind in the service of each other, not in the service of the global state. I love you very, very much, and looking forward to our associations, our discussing Proudhon, and our organizing together. So until then, until next week, keep strong. Peace.
I need some sugar in my bowl.